We're testing the new Samsung Galaxy S6 Active from AT&T to see how it handles pretty much anything life throws at it. First up, the splash test. Not a problem. Next, the drop station. Ketchup and mustard, a classic, and it's A-okay. Now, the mud simulator. And it's ringing. One second. Hello? Can I call you? I'm gonna call you back. Looks like the Samsung Galaxy S6 Active handled it all without a problem. I just wish I'd rinsed it off first. Ugh.
Switch now to AT&T and earn $300 in credits when you buy a Samsung Galaxy phone on AT&T Next and trade your current smartphone. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Device meets military standards for dust and shock resistance. Drops or falls less than 4 feet on flat surface and IP68 rating for water resistance up to 1.5 meters for 30 minutes. Rinse residue promptly. Limited time offer. Select locations. Must port number activate service and remain in good standing. $300 equals $100 bill credit applied within 90 days and $200 phone trading credit, which may be via promotion card. Trade-in must be in good working condition. Other charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Our trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I am your host, Belinda Gale, and our show features interviews with wonderful guests, as well as gospel and patriotic music and songs that just plain lift your heart, most all of them with a definite Western flair. We are going to get to know today's guest together. He is new to Western music, but it is easy to see why he is one of our rising stars. I am really excited to have him on the show. But first, let's listen to the song that he co-wrote with our dear friend Joni Harms, The Cowboy Way.
She was definitely a looker, don't think he hadn't noticed. Just cause he was 83, his eyes were bright and focused. But when he saw these two young bucks with that mount of coup, he said, "You better listen close, you need to hear the truth. Well, you call yourself a cowboy, well, you got a ways to go. Cause any real cowboy will take it nice and slow. If you want to catch that pretty gal, then listen to what I say. Takes a lot of time and patience when it's done the cowboy way. Really watch this young cowboy try to saddle up a horse. He was getting nervous, he was using too much force. The old man had seen it coming long before he got a seat. He laughed and shook his head as he landed in a heap. Well, you call yourself a cowboy, well, you got a ways to go. 'Cause any real cowboy can take it nice and slow. If you want to break that cayuse, then listen to what I say. Takes a lot of time and patience when it's done the cowboy way. Well, today's generation has really gone astray. Wish we could all get back to the good old cowboy way. Well, you call yourself a cowboy, well, you got a ways to go. 'Cause any real cowboy will take it nice and slow. If you really want to live this life, then listen to what I say. It's a lot of time and patience when it's done the cowboy way. It takes time and patience when it's done the cowboy way.
Yeah. Oh, I like that song. I think I've known that old cowboy that they were singing about. Our guest today has taken sort of a roundabout route to a career in music. And while music has always been a part of his life, initially rodeo is what dominated his passion. And the cool thing is he was good at it, good enough to be a champion. The 2009 Northwest Professional Rodeo Association Saddle Bronc Riding Champion, to be exact. But as we all know, life has a way of throwing us a curve sometimes, and it is awesome how the Lord takes us down unexpected trails. Well, I think I'll let our guest today fill in the blanks on that story. And though we haven't met, I've had the opportunity to speak with him on the phone, and he sounds like a heck of a nice guy. I'm delighted to welcome to the show today, Tony Lundervold. Welcome, Tony.
Thanks, Belinda. Glad to be here.
Did I say your name right?
Yes.
Good. Excellent. I forgot to ask you about that when we were talking. Oh, my gosh. So you co-wrote that song with our friend Joni Harms. We just had her on, I think, last week was when she was on. And so just had such a fun time talking with Joni. She's a great lady. And I'm always interested in how our musical paths crossed and the friendships that are formed and how that happened. So tell us how you came to be friends with Joni.
Well, I met Joni about 10 or 12 years ago. My dad and I had gone to one of her shows that she did. And through talking, she had found out that I played music. And so over the next few years of just catching up with her at some of her shows, she started to ask me to come up on occasion and play a song or two. And so kind of gave me some opportunities to get up on stage and get to know her as well. And then we ended up talking more about, I had started to go into a little bit of graphic and web design. And so I ended up taking over her website for a few years and did a lot of her marketing materials and things like that. And so because of that, we ended up spending more time together, working together, and just developed a really close friendship. And she's really become a second mother to me, and I actually call her Mama Joni. And it's just been just a blessing to have her in my life, and you know, she helped me tremendously with my music, and you know, couldn't ask for a better professional as well as friend.
Oh, she is a great lady, and I really would like to. This song is so cute, and it just really nails it on so many levels. How did you guys come to write The Cowboy Way?
Well, we just kind of in, you know, collaborating different ideas, we had decided kind of the theme of, you know, I had mentioned to her about how, you know, it was unfortunate how, you know, some of the younger generation had kind of changed a little bit in their respect and stuff with, you know, rodeo and stuff like that, cowboys in general and stuff. And you know, definitely not all cases, but there's just been a few instances that I had ran into, and we got to kind of talking about that and decided it would be kind of fun to to write a song together that was that spoke about that in kind of a humorous way, but it was also kind of a serious song at the same time. And,
mm-hmm.
and we had just a heck of a time. You know, it was just a lot of fun writing together because we were really on the same page a lot. Tony had said that, you know, I was one of the easiest people that she's written with just because she said, you know, it doesn't always work when you get together with somebody to co-write. And, you know, with us, it really did. I mean, there was times where we would kind of discuss a theme for part of a verse or whatever, and then we'd just sit in silence for, you know, maybe 5, 10, 20 minutes and just kind of writing down our own thoughts. And, you know, we would come up with lines that, I mean, were almost word for word. I mean, it was amazing how on the same page we were as far as the direction we wanted to go, and just made it that much more fun and a lot easier.
Yeah, way easier. Well, she's a dear. I'd love to write with her sometime. She's just a neat lady, and I've always really admired her. So I'm really glad you have that connection. That's a wonderful introduction to Western music, and you have a good mentor there, Tony. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Well, she helped me a lot, too, with just, you know, my songwriting over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been writing songs for a long time. And, you know, as you well know, some come quickly and some you kind of sit on for years. And
yeah.
And, I'd say one of the best things that she taught me when writing together is that she writes down every idea. I mean, anything mm-hmm. that pops into her head, she's writing it down. Where I would only write down, quote unquote, the good ideas. And you know, what was really interesting that she taught me is that, you know, sometimes you can develop good ideas out of the not-so-good ideas.
Yes.
So it was a great learning lesson, and, you know, she's just helped me in many ways other than that, but that was definitely one that I've really utilized.
That's a good tip for all those aspiring songwriters out there, for sure. Gosh. So now you live on a ranch now and work on a ranch, but is that, let's go back to your childhood, and what is that the way you were raised? And also, what did, you know, what part did your faith and going to church play in your childhood? So tell us about how you were raised, Tony.
Well, I grew up on acreage. I lived in Gresham, Oregon is where I grew up, and it used to be a small town. It's really kind of developed into a pretty big city now. In fact, growing up, I think there was about 4 houses on our entire street, and now when I go over that way to visit my mom, who still lives in the same house, there's probably about 350 houses. So
wow.
It's about the only place left on the road with acreage, and everything else is just, you know, sub-developments and stuff. But anyways, we had horses out at our property. They came out there about the time I was 4 or 5 years old, I believe. And it was my half-brother and his wife's horses, and they were basically boarding their horses there. And so that's kind of what got me into horses. And my sister-in-law had taught me to ride at a young age. And so that kind of got me started with that. And then, you know, as far as my, you know, faith and kind of religious background, you know, my parents went to church. And so, of course, I grew up going to church, and it was, you know, all I knew. And, you know, my faith really started to develop. I remember it very clearly as if it was yesterday, about going downstairs and into the laundry room. My mom was doing laundry, and I remember telling her that I was ready to get baptized and, you know, give my life to God. And it's one of those memories that just, it's really neat how it stuck with me, because there's a lot of little things. You know, I know when I'm talking to my brothers and they'll be like, oh, remember that? And I'm like, no, I don't remember that at all. But this particular memory has stuck with me, and I can close my eyes and picture, you know, the whole scene. And it was really neat point in my life, you know, and that's when, you know, things really started to change as far as how I viewed religion and faith and God and made it into my views as well as, you know, not just my parents' views, but into my own as well.
Right. So it sounds like instead of having like a one defining moment when the Lord went from being out there, you know, this big God that's out there, to being the God that just resides in your heart and directs your life, that was an evolution for you and not like an epiphany, not a moment in time.
Right. Yeah, and that was, you know, it definitely grew from there as, you know, as I matured more and I understood more of what it meant to live your life for God. You know, that definitely changed as I got older, but that was definitely a point where it became my faith in God rather than just my parents' faith in God that I knew through them.
Right. And you have brothers and sisters?
Yes. No sisters. But I have three older brothers. I'm the baby.
You're the baby. Oh, that explains a lot.
Yep. So, I have one brother that's 6 years older than me, and then two brothers that are 3 years older than me. They're twins.
Oh, wow. Fun. That'd be fun growing up with twins. All those brothers, your poor mother.
Yep. Four boys now.
Oh, my goodness. So tell us about your relationship with your father. I noticed on your liner notes that you lost him a few years ago. I'm sorry for your loss. It's always hard to lose a parent. And you have a beautiful picture of him and a lovely tribute to him on your liner notes. So tell us about your dad, Tony.
Well, my dad was an amazing dad. You know, I mean, he was always there for all of us boys and was really... you know, one of the things that has often been discussed amongst not just our immediate family but extended family as well after he had passed, that he was really kind of the hub of our whole family. You know, everybody kind of spoke off of him, and I mean, he was really that central point that you know, really held our family together, and you know, he was just always smiling. You know, the picture that I have of him in my liner notes, you know, in the CD is, you know, just of him with a big grin on his face, and that was him. I mean, that's what everybody knew. My dad was just always smiling and just a happy person, and he taught me a lot. You know, with, you know, he was a structural engineer, and you know, he did everything himself. You know, from mechanics to carpentry, to plumbing and electrical. In the mid-70s, he built designed and built the house that we grew up in. Mm. And so there wasn't really anything that he couldn't do. And so growing up, I really paid attention to those things. And, you know, although I definitely don't know it all, I'm definitely pretty handy because of it. And so I'm able to do all of my own repairs and all the things that I build around here. I'm actually in the middle of working on building a deck, and projects never end for sure. So it's nice to be able to do it myself, because it gets pretty expensive if you have to hire somebody. And you know, and I learned a lot from my dad with music and stuff. You know, my dad loved music, and he always loved to sing. But he would always sing really quiet, because he never wanted, you know, anybody to hear him sing, because he was told as a kid that he couldn't sing. So he always held back, and so he talked me into being in church choir with him, and that's when I really realized that he could sing, because he was more confident singing next to me, and so he would sing out more, and then I got to actually hear him, and he could sing very well, and it was just a neat experience. You know, we used to, of course, I was pretty young at the time, but, you know, we would do pretty corny stuff. I mean, we always, every time we had a choir concert at church, we would always wear matching ties and sometimes matching suspenders and stuff, you know, and it was just something that we just did together, and I don't even know, if it was my, I can't remember if it was my mom's influence to get us to do it the first time or what. But anyways, it just stuck, and we always did it every time. And it was just kind of a neat thing that we shared together. And so it was a lot of fun. And he introduced me to just the love of a variety of music, which I definitely, you know, enjoy all types of music. And, you know, like him, I do enjoy Hawaiian music and gospel quartets and some yodeling and, you know, old country and Western and just a little bit of everything. So
yeah, very eclectic. Good music is good music no matter where you find it, right?
Absolutely. Yep, definitely.
It is. Gosh. Well, we have a wonderful song that you have written called Just Like Him, and you wrote this with your friend Andy. And I'm thinking it's about your dad. Do you want to go ahead and set this up?
Yeah. So this song I wrote, it was really difficult actually to initially start this song because, you know, I was very close with my dad, of course, most of us are. And it was really hard to, you know, when you've got a million different things to choose from, what can you say about your dad in 3 minutes? That would really honor him, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to dedicate the CD to my dad. That was the first thing I thought of when I decided I wanted to do this CD. And so, you know, I really wanted there to be a song on there as well, not just a dedication. And so it took a long time for me to finally come up with the idea, and I wanted it to be an upbeat song. My dad loved upbeat music. And I knew that that would be what he would want to hear the most. And I also knew that I'd never be able to sing it if it was a slow, sappy song. So that was a big part of it as well.
I hear that.
Yeah. So I still, even to this day, I still have a hard time even just introducing the song sometimes. Because, you know, just it means a lot to me. And the song, you know, there's songs that you've written that God helps you write, and there's just no question about that. And this was one of them. I wrote the majority of the song in less than a half hour, and then I kind of wasn't sure exactly, you know, melody-wise and words. I was a little stuck at the end of the song with the bridge and stuff, and so a friend of mine, Andy Colvin, who I went to, he actually went to Nashville with me and recorded some of the background vocals and stuff. I was going to his house that weekend anyway to work on, you know, songs and stuff like that. And so I brought that song along with me, and we sat down that night, and we were able to get through it. And he kind of had some ideas that were just perfect for where they needed to be, melody-wise and stuff, and we finished it that night, and we got done with it 2 months before we actually went into the studio, so it was
wow,
perfect timing.
Nice.
Better late than ever, and I think it turned out just the way it needed to be.
It did. Well, at least you had 2 months to kind of work on it. I mean, I've heard of stories where they're actually finishing the song, you know, the night before they have to record it, so you did well. Two months ahead of time is good. That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's listen to Just Like Him.
Spend time with Daddy on a farm just out of town. On my John Deere tractor, just tilling up the ground. In his lap I'd sit there as happy as can be. The lessons I was learning at the time I didn't see. I guess I knew the day would come when I'd be just like him. There's no one else that I'd rather be. He taught me how to be a man even through the toughest times. How to treat my wife and love my family. Of the generation where he could do it all. To achieve his skill and knowledge was an order pretty tall. did, I was right there by his side. Thought I wished he'd been here longer, but we sure enjoyed the ride. I guess I knew the day would come when I'd be just like him. There's no one else that I'd rather be. He taught me how to be a man even through the toughest times, how to treat my wife and love my family. The years they pass by quickly. I'm a daddy now, you see. Hope that I can teach my kids the way my dad taught me. I guess I knew the day would come when I'd be just like him. There's no one else that I'd rather be. He taught me how to be a man even through the toughest times, how to treat my wife and love my family. Yes, he taught me how to be a man even through the toughest times, how to treat my wife and love my family.
Oh, Tony, that's a wonderful tribute to your dad. I love it. That is so cool. So what I want to talk about now is, okay, so you're this little guy growing up on this nice acreage in beautiful Oregon, and you guys have horses out there and you're learning to ride. What made you decide it was a good idea to get on the back of a horse that didn't want you to be there?
Well, it's not the first time somebody's asked me that question, but as I mentioned before, you know, my sister-in-law was the one who kind of taught me how to ride horses at a young age.
Yeah.
And she had got me into doing 4-H. And so she thought it would be a great way for me to, you know, get exposed to the horse world and learn technique and everything like that. And so for years I did 4-H, and I don't have any rodeo background as far as, you know, my parents didn't even ride. At all. And so, you know, nobody in my family, at least that I am aware of, ever rodeoed or anything like that. And so, you know, I knew nothing about it. I liked to watch it on TV. And through doing 4-H, there was a girl that was a part of my 4-H club, and her dad was a professional team roper. And so I had, of course, gotten to know him really well, and you know, he actually started teaching me how to rope. And so I did that, and this was, I think I was about 14 years old, 14 and 15. I started to learn how to rope. Well, he ended up getting pancreatic cancer and ended up passing away, and it was really difficult on me because I was really close with him. And so I didn't feel like roping was something I wanted to continue with. I just felt like without him helping me along the way, it was just not a direction I wanted to go. But I had gotten to know his son really well also, who rode saddle bronc professionally. And so it took a while to convince my parents that this is the direction that I was
going. I can imagine. I can only imagine.
They didn't want me to do it, you know, and there was actually a guy, name is Billy Etbauer. He's a 5-time world champion saddle bronc rider, and I had developed a relationship with him over the phone, just talking to him about it, and he had actually talked to my parents and, you know, told them that this is something that I was going to do. It was in my blood to do it, in my heart to do it, that, you know, to not hold me back from doing it now, because it's better that I start at a young age than later in life. So he kind of encouraged my parents to just let me go forward with it at that time. And so I can't remember if he talked to my mom or dad or who it was, but anyways, so my dad ended up getting me signed up for a 3-day rodeo school in Idaho, Twin Falls, Idaho. Mm-hmm. And we went over there, and, you know, it was just, I fell in love with it, and, you know, ended up doing it for about 13 years.
Wow.
So it was really neat. And it, you know, even throughout, you know, as long as I had done it, you know, my dad could not handle watching me ride. I mean.
Oh, I can appreciate that.
With the hundreds and hundreds of rodeos that I competed at, my dad probably saw me ride. Well, in the beginning, I guess he went to every high school rodeo with me because he had to drive.
Right.
I couldn't drive it. But after that, you know, after high school, he probably went to maybe six rodeos in all those years just because he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
In fact, one time he was so nervous, he had his hat on backwards and just really nervous. So it was definitely not his cup of tea, but, you know, he still supported me in it. And, you know, that was important. So.
Oh, gosh. Well, he had to been, their family had to been so proud of you when you won the Northwest Saddle Bronc Riding Championship. That had to been a real pinnacle for you and your family.
Yes. Yeah, it was really awesome. And you know, because, like I said, I'm only one in my family to ever do rodeo and stuff. I mean, it wasn't uncommon. Most of them hadn't seen me ride very many times.
Mm-hmm.
One of my brothers, Mike, used to go to a lot of rodeos with me. But anyways, it was really neat because I did have a couple of my brothers there when I competed, you know, and ended up winning the finals. And it was a really neat deal because I really didn't think that I was going to win the finals. That year I had been number one for the first half of the year, and then I started to have some struggles. You know, just one of those things of getting announced number one and being told that you're the one to beat. You know, it starts to put a lot of pressure on you. And,
yeah, it does.
And it did that with me, and so I started to have some bad luck, and I ended up going from number one to number six, and then going into the finals, I went in number four, you know, behind some really talented guys. And so I kind of figured, well, I'm not going to win it this year, but, you know, I'm going to try to win as much money as I can. And I ended up winning every round in the average and the Northwest. So it definitely, everything, you know, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens the way it's supposed to. And usually it's us that are the ones in a hurry to make changes. But if we just kind of, you know, pay attention and listen to what God's telling you, you know, he's going to put you in the direction that you need to go. And that was, you know, I think the thing, because I had just kind of let go and kind of put it in his hands and just relaxed and enjoyed myself, it just took all the pressure off. And that's why I was able to win the rounds and stuff, is just because I didn't have that worry on my mind.
Right. You just gave it to the Lord and left it there and just had fun and left it in his hands. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. That is a really hard thing.
That's one of the hardest things, I think, you know, in many cases it is.
Yes.
You know, we all like to feel like we're in control, and by doing that, you're kind of giving up that control, and you know, it's not human nature sometimes to do that.
Yep, it is. Wow. Well, so you're coming off with this great season, and you go into the next season, I believe, and tell us what happened that just completely skewed your life in a different direction.
Well, that next year, I actually planned on taking the entire year off. That's when we had our little girl, Bailey. And so, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know, I accomplished something really that I never thought I would even, I mean, I always hoped and dreamed, but I never thought I would actually win the Northwest. So it was just, it was an amazing feeling. And I thought, you know, I can afford to take the year off and just kind of lay low this year. But like most guys at rodeo, I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And so I decided to enter a couple of rodeos.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to five rodeos in 2010. And I won the first four rodeos. And I broke my neck at the fifth.
Oh my gosh.
It was, you know, I actually didn't go to the doctor for 2 days. I didn't realize that I had broke my neck.
Ah.
And so it was something that I just kind of put off, and then, you know, I told my wife, yeah, it's getting worse. If it doesn't get better by tomorrow, I'm going to go to the hospital. And so I did, and sure enough, it was broke.
Wow.
So that really, you know, at that point, you know, I didn't necessarily realize how severe it was. Obviously, a broken neck is severe, but I didn't know how it was going to change my life at that point. You know, I thought, well, I'll heal up and I'll start competing again. Because
mm-hmm.
I've known guys that have come off of broken necks and been able to compete again. And so I thought I'd be okay. Well, then just a few days later, or maybe it was a week later, I started losing feeling in my arm.
Mm.
And what had happened was is that a piece of my neck had actually broke off, and it went up and it stuck into one of my nerves.
Mm.
And
oh,
I was literally going to lose use of my arm, and so they, the specialist said that, you know, I needed to get in for an emergency surgery in a few days, and so in the meantime, he was going to put me on a steroid that had like a 10% success rate, but in my case, it worked. And what it does, lowered the inflammation and allowed that bone spur to settle back into place and come out of that nerve. And so, you know, it's been 5 years now, and I still haven't had to have surgery yet.
Wow.
I've had some maintenance done. I did get my nerves cut off this year in my first couple of vertebrae, but that's all I've done. And that wasn't a surgery thing. But so it definitely, it was, at that point I knew I had to retire from it. You know, we had just had a baby, and, you know, to me it wasn't worth putting myself at risk. The doctor said I should have been paralyzed.
Wow.
You know, this, my daughter needs me in her life, and, you know, my wife. So I just needed to make the decision, and so it was really difficult for me. It wasn't a direction I wanted to go, and then not long after that, then my dad had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through a very difficult time over those couple of years of just, you know, it felt like everything was getting taken away from me, and, you know, this is unfair. You know, in fact, we had just lost our 3-year-old niece the year prior to my dad passing. And so it was just like one thing after the other where I just, you know, threw my hands up in the air and was, what is going on? Why is everything going against me right now? And, and I was very bitter about it and sulky. And it was, you know, of course, my wife has been amazing through everything in my life. I mean, from beginning to end, she's been a huge supporter. She always puts my dreams in front of hers, whether I try to convince her otherwise or not. She always puts me first, and I've been very blessed to have her in my life, to say the least, and she helped me kind of move forward. And a good friend of mine talked to me too, and he just said, you know, he said, it's one of those things that you have to remember that God will open doors when you allow those doors of your past to close.
Mm.
And I just wasn't allowing those doors to close. I was holding on to something that was done. And, you know, I kept holding that idea of, no, I need to still try to figure out how I'm going to go about doing this. And he said, you know, you need to look at other things that, you know, you can put your focus and your passion into. And between my wife and Joni both, Joni had been telling me for years that I needed to do something with my music and quit writing songs. And so it was between my wife and Joni, it just got to the point where, you know, they encouraged me, and I thought, you know, this is a good direction. I've always had a huge passion for music, and but it always kind of took the back seat to my rodeo.
Right.
And this is an opportunity that I should really pursue.
Well,
so,
we're sure glad you did.
We're so
glad you did. Well, we're going to go into a song now that actually you and Joni wrote that I just love. And so I really would love for you to set it up. And it's called A Noble Man.
Yes. So this was a song idea that I had taken to Joni. There's a gentleman, his name is Harry Noble. He lives in Hermiston, Oregon. And, you know, he was kind of a legend as far as riding Bronx. He had a huge career, and he won the Northwest 3 years in a row back in the early 70s, I believe it was. But I always felt that more than anything, his fame was around his support and how much he helped guys that were going into rodeo. He would let guys come over from, there was a college not too far from there, and they would come, the college team would come and ride horses and bulls at his place, and you know, everybody would just come and ride horses, and he was just such a class act and a very, very godly man, and just the most inspiring person that you could ever meet. And then, you know, a few years ago, he ended up losing his leg. You know, 82 years old, he was still riding colts and having
wow.
a fall on him. Ended up having to take his leg from the knee down, and it never stopped him. I mean, you know, we went over and visited him, and you'd have never thought that anything was wrong in his life. I mean, he just always had this positive attitude and this just happy personality. I mean, it was just the best person to be around. And so I always thought, that is truly a noble man. And his last name happens to be Harry Noble, and I thought, gosh, there's a song in there.
There's got to be.
Yeah, and I talked to Joni about it, and she was really excited to work on it, too, because she knew Harry Noble because she was the Northwest Professional Rodeo Association queen while Harry was competing. And so she knew him and knew of him, and so we sat down and kind of paid tribute to him in this song, and I think it speaks for itself.
It does. So let's listen to A Noble Man.
He had a small lean frame and a big old heart. A bronc riding fool right from the start. The cowboy said he was the man to see. I showed up, said, would you teach me? With his help, I was on my way. And took less bills, brought home more pay. In every rodeo I'd ride, his words of wisdom were deep inside. A noble man's who you wanna be. Behind a legacy, with cowboy courage and honesty, strong faith in God and family. A noble man's who you want to be. Late September in 09, million things running through my mind. That trophy saddle in my hands. So this goes out to a noble man. A noble man's who you wanna be. Leaves behind a legacy. The cowboy courage and honesty. Strong faith in family. A noble man's who you want to be. And to this day, I'm still a behind a legacy. With cowboy courage and honesty, strong faith in God and family. A noble man's who you wanna be. A noble man's who you wanna be. A noble man's who I wanna be.
Oh, good job, Tony. You guys nailed it. That's great. That is such a good song. One of my favorites that's on your CD, by the way. I really, really like that song.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think that's my wife's favorite as well.
yeah, I really, really like, I mean, I like your voice on it. I just like the way the song flows. Yeah, it's a good one for sure. It's a keeper, just like you.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. So, you know, I'd like to hear about your wife and your girls now. I mean, I have to say I really, really admire that you made the decision. You know, you could have gone on with rodeo and taken more risks, and a lot of men do. You know, they just can't put that passion aside and put their family before that drive, you know, to compete and succeed in something they're passionate about. And you know, the fact that you did that and put your wife and girls first is so admirable. And I think that's one of the reasons the Lord is blessing you so richly with your music, and you're, you know, it's climbing so fast for you, is because He's honoring that you honored Him by making that kind of decision. So tell us about your beautiful bride and your beautiful girls.
Well, you know, I am a very, very strong believer in the fact that God puts people in your lives at the time when you need it most. I really strongly believe that. I've had that. I've experienced that so many times in my life, and it's all about timing, you know. And I remember I'd been in some really tough relationships, and I remember just, you know, praying for something to change in my life, you know, and I was, when am I going to find this person who gets me and connects with me and treats me the way that I feel I should be treated, and just everything that we all want in a relationship, of course. So I found my wife. We met through rodeo, of course. She barrel races, and so we were both competitors. And when I first met her, she had two children, a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old. And so, you know, at first I was a little unsure. You know, that's a pretty ready-made family. But it didn't take long that didn't matter. In fact, we dated for 3 months before we got married. And, you know, it's funny.
Three whole months?
Three whole months. My parents actually only dated for two, and they were married for 40 years before my dad passed. So
wow.
I guess when it's right, it's right. My wife and I have been married now for, it'll be 8 years in October.
Oh, congratulations.
And, you know, every day is better than the last. And, you know, we rodeoed together those 3 months, and if you can spend that much time in the car with somebody, you're either going to love them or you're going to hate their guts. And I ended up loving her. And fortunately, she loved me back, and it's just been, it's been amazing. Like I said, every day is just better than the last. And, you know, I just know that our future is just going to be amazing. You know, we communicate. We just, you know, family is, it's so important to both of us. And you know, the kids have been great, you know, and of course there's always struggles with, but we've darn sure made it through it and are still making it through it. And just, you know, I have great relationships with the two of them as well. And then of course we have Bailey, who is now, she turned 5 this last June. So the girls are, Bailey's the youngest and she's 5. And then our middle daughter is Brenna, and she just turned 15 in last month. And then our oldest is Kelly, and she'll be 18 on Friday.
Wow.
So, yep, we have quite the range.
Big deal birthday. Yes, you do. Oh, gosh. Yep. You have a lot of estrogen in your household.
Oh, man.
So for the flip of your mom had all boys and you have all girls.
Well, and that was the amazing, you know, when we had Bailey, I knew Bailey was going to be a boy. I mean, that's all my family makes. We make boys, so of course she's going to be a boy. And you know, I was disappointed at first when I found out that she was going to be a girl. And again, it just goes back to, you know, God knows what's best in our lives. And mm-hmm. and I mean, to tell you what, he knew, because Bailey is, I mean, she's my world. That little mm-hmm. girl, I mean, she's got me so wrapped around her little finger, it's not even funny. She's told Daddy's girl, you know, always everything about Dad. And I love it.
Oh gosh, well, it sounds like you have a beautiful family. So you're doing the music, sounds like you're doing some graphic design stuff. Now you're and now there's a lot of pictures of you working cattle. So you live on a ranch, you're doing day work with other ranches and kind of keeping your fingers in that.
You know, I always try to keep myself involved in the horse world because that's, well, heck, I'd run out of songs to write if I didn't, for one. That's to me, I just am so absorbed in that lifestyle that it makes, of course, songwriting that much easier when I can write about what I know. We have 5 acres. This is our first house that we actually purchased 3 years ago. And so we just have 5 acres and we have horses and, you know, we stay involved with that. The graphic design thing I don't really do anymore. It just wasn't a direction that was right for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for myself. I designed my album and everything, and I actually had recently designed Joni's live album for her. But as far as, you know, doing it for work, it wasn't the right direction for me. And so I still do it just for personal. It saves on paying a graphic designer, but outside of that, I don't focus on that anymore.
So any of your girls have rodeo aspirations? Any barrel racers in the bunch?
You know, I don't know. At this point, the older two know. They're kind of just finding their own way, as most 15 and 18-year-old young girls are doing. You know, and the middle one still likes to ride and stuff like that. The youngest, you know, who knows with her? She's a wild one. I mean, she's going to do a lot of things. She's a little monster, and, you know, she's just the sweetest thing in the world. But she's very strong-willed. I don't know. My wife says she gets it from me. I say the other. But she's, you know, it's... When she rides horses and stuff, she refuses to hold on. You know, you tell her to hold the horn, she won't do it. She's a big girl. She doesn't need to hold on.
Yeah.
Which worked out poorly for her when she did the sheep riding at the rodeo.
Yes.
Because she refused to hold on because she didn't need to, and that didn't work out so well. But
not so well with riding sheep, that's for sure. Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness.
But
so, Tony... It is fun. It's like you have just a lovely family, and it kind of goes into this next song. Actually, you didn't write this song, but Joni co-wrote this song, and it's on your CD. You do a really great job, and it just, to me, it talks about, you know, maybe you don't live on a big, you know, 1,000-acre ranch or whatever, but the Western, there's very few people that have the luxury in this day and age to actually live that kind of lifestyle, but there are so many of us who either have it in your background and you never, once it's in your life and in your blood, you never, no matter where you live, you could live in the, you know, in the subdivision in town, but your heart is still so rooted in the West and so rooted in the lifestyle, and you seek it out at every possibility. And so it really is a heart thing. And I think that's kind of what this song is talking about. Country is as country does. And you do a great job on it. So why don't we listen to that right now?
Okay.
I grew up on the family farm where we pulled together and did our part. Come Saturday we'd hit the swimming hole, pack a picnic lunch and a fishing pole. We didn't know no better, figured it was just because country is as country it does. I couldn't change my country ways even if I tried. Something you can't hide. The way it is the way it was. Country is as country it does. Now I got me a job in a big high rise. I pull a pretty good wage working. When Friday finally rolls around, I'll be in my truck heading out of town. I'll put on my hat and turn George Strait way up. Country is as country does. I couldn't change my country ways even if I tried. 'Cause when country is as country it does.
Oh, good job. Good job, Tony. That's a good song. Oh, gosh. So I can't believe how fast this hour has gone by, and I'm so delighted you're on the show, and I sure hope that we see you at the Western Music Association Annual Convention in Albuquerque. I hope you can make that. We'd love to help you meet people down there. We're going to be there, and just, I hope you're going to make it, because it'll be very cool to have you there.
Yeah, I would definitely love to make it.
So we hope, well, let's pray that that works out. I know that's a long trek from Oregon, but we sure hope you're going to be there. And Tony, you know, I know that after hearing some of your music today and getting to know you better, there's going to be people that are going to want to, you know, get a hold of your new CD and hopefully even hire you to come, you know, to perform for some shows for them. So where would be a good place for them to get a hold of you?
Probably would be my website. You know, all my contact information is there, as well as, you know, the accessibility to purchase my CDs, which are also, of course, on iTunes and Google Play. But my website is www.tonylundervold.com, and that's TonyLundervold.
So that they need to just go right on over there and get that CD ordered.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you again for being on the show with us today, Tony, and just, you know, really just opening up about your life and your heart and your walk with the Lord. It's been a delight. And we're going to close out with a song that you wrote that I really, really love. My second favorite, or maybe co-favorite, with Noble Man, and it's called Ride in His Glory. You want to tell us about that?
So this song was actually a song that I wrote many, many years ago. Probably one of the first songs that I had ever written. But, you know, God gave this song to me, you know, and what this song is really about, you know, in the rodeo world, you know, there's so many wonderful people in it. There can be, you know, just so many people that are very godly people and have strong faith. And in fact, rodeo is still one of those sports that you typically will hear a prayer during mm-hmm. the grand entry of the rodeo. And mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of, you know, just being on the road and traveling and stuff like that. There's definitely a lot of opportunity for sin, just as kind of anywhere in our lives, there's that opportunity for sin.
Mm-hmm.
But this song just speaks about how important it is, whether you're faced with sin or you're just faced with struggles, of how important it is just to basically get down on your knees and just, you know, pray to God and just remember when you're out there competing that you're riding in His glory.
Wow. Well, thank you again so much for being on the show, and we're going to listen now to Ride in His Glory.
Thank you.
Life in the rodeo will have its ups and downs. The outcome can change from town to town. And it'll bring some hard times as you go along your way. Sometimes it feels like nothing goes your way. Don't forget to kneel and say a little prayer. Lean on God, 'cause He is always there. And trust in His name. Living life for God. The sins are very strong. It's hard to tell what's right and what is wrong. With all the choices that you face, living life out on the road. By yourself you can't handle all the load. God is there to catch you when you fall. And trust in His name. Living life for God will lead to fame. Change, just come as you are. Spend eternal life together with the greatest rodeo star. Ride in His glory. just another story.
Oh, what a nice song. Oh, it has been such a fun show today. I have so enjoyed learning more about Tony, his life, and his walk with the Lord. One thing that really stood out to me is Tony's repeated decisions to depend on the Lord for guidance, especially when his life was just kind of coming apart. I know that so very many of us have walked through times like that in our lives when it felt like everything was spinning out of control and we were scrambling to hang on to the pieces, even scrambling to find the pieces. Maybe you are going through something like that right now. I honestly can't imagine going through times like that without the Lord. There are a ton of scriptures about leaning on the Lord for guidance and trusting that He has it all under control. But my very favorite go-to scripture is found in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The Lord gives us a wonderful promise in this scripture, but did you notice it requires something of us? Now, I don't think the Lord needs anything from us to fulfill His promises to us, but I think we need to do those things so we can actually recognize and receive His promises. First, we have to trust, and not just a lackadaisical, okay, Lord, I guess I'll trust you in this, but a ginormous trust with all your heart. Second, we have to lean on the Lord and not on our own understanding. Sort of like those rock concert shots when you see when on the TV when they just kind of jump out into the crowd, trusting they will be caught, and they are. That always amazes me. We have to leap into God's arms, trusting completely that He has this, that He has it and under complete control. And third, we must acknowledge Him in all of our ways. Now, I guess that could be interpreted different ways, but to me, it means living my life, every moment of my life, with intention and to the very best of my ability, that in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean the Lord expects me to live the perfect life, but it does mean that He expects us to give it our all and to do the very best we can. And then comes the promise, He will make our path straight. Now, we all know that a curvy, undulating up and down path is exhausting and even frightening at times because you have no idea what is coming and what you'll need to have to deal with when it comes. Now, even though we know that and serve the Lord to the best of our ability, we don't always know what's coming, but we do know that God does. And He has made us this amazing promise that no matter what comes at us, if we choose to rest in and trust in the Lord, it won't feel like a treacherous path. It will feel straight with all the peace and assurance that comes with knowing that no matter what it looks like right now to us, because the Lord is in control, everything is going to be okay. Well, that's our show for today. I'm so delighted y'all could join us. Thank you for giving us the gift of your time. Thank you again to our very special guest, Tony Lundervold, for sharing a bit of himself with us today. And of course, a huge thank you to my amazing producer, Gary Holt, for all he does behind the scenes to make this show happen. And please remember, all of the fabulous shows on Equestrian Legacy Radio are archived for you to listen to at your convenience. You can even download our nifty mobile app and take us on the go with you. So if you like our shows, please help us spread the word by liking us on Facebook and telling your friends about us. Thank you again for joining us today. Until next week, may all of your trails be blessed.
Blinded by the weight of life, I wonder, does He hear? I feel so far from His precious peace, but choose to believe He is there. For what is faith but trusting God when we cannot see or feel? That's when faith is purified, perfect as gold, strong as perfect peace when it makes no sense that it's there. But we must first seek and trust He will lift us out of our despair. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. Cast aside those doubts and fears, they must flee at your command. For in the face of God's pure love, no evil thing can stand. I rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord. We rejoice in the faithfulness of the Lord.